giving to every man an answer for the hope that lies within us. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor, Chris Gordon.
We are very grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you here at Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and I do invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. Again, that web address is for Abounding Grace, agradio.org. And there you will learn about who we are and what we believe. We have all of these broadcasts there in podcast format for you to take them and listen to as you please through iTunes or Google Play. We also have a section there for the website where you can donate if you would like, and we would sincerely appreciate that. All donations will go to the cost of the program. What an exciting week on Abounding Grace of looking in the Old Testament at something that is so relevant for the New Testament church. We have been studying this week Nehemiah, Ezra, reading the book that had basically been buried for years, the Word of God to the people who had, after they had been brought back from Babylon after being judged. This is the remnant. They're hungry for the Word of God. Ezra opens the Word. He's standing up above them. They're standing. They're shouting out, amen, amen. They're lifting their hands. They're bowing their heads. They're worshiping the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. It's a glorious moment. It's amazing to me because all of this energy, all of this excitement, the Spirit of God had evidently come upon them, and nothing of whatever we would define today in our contemporary Christian climate as hip or alive or spiritual, nothing that's going on here would mean much to us today. And that is a tragedy. Where's the real grabbing stuff we think should be here? I said yesterday, in every major working of the Spirit in history, when there was widespread response to the Lord so as to change someone's life, the centerpiece was always upon the Word. As the people again hungered and thirsted for that Word, they longed for that Word. They loved that Word. They stopped the complaining. They were silent. They longed to hear from God again. For too long, they had been doing their own thing. Isn't that just what's before us today? You know, they say in the impoverished countries, in the third world countries, in the countries where they're persecuted for the faith, they just go underground. They're so starving, they'll go to great sacrifice just to have a Bible or to hear it preached. Today, well, we can miss it, miss worship, and miss hearing the Word for the NFL football game. I mean, our Christianity doesn't cost us anything today here. And look at what's happened. The Word is so trivialized, we can get it in every color of leather, whatever version we want, whatever kind of study edition we want, and who knows it? Who reads it? Look what's going on here in Nehemiah chapter 8. Look at their response. After hearing the Word, what happened? Then all the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You know what worship is, right? Worship by definition means to bow down. Now, we're not doing a lot of that today. And because the simple reason is because we're not being impressed in worship with the holiness of God. In fact, we don't even like to talk about that today. But what vibrancy is here exposed, isn't it? What zeal, what response we're seeing here. I mean, this is the kind of vibrancy and excitement every faithful minister of the gospel wants to see in the life of his people. Yet what brought it about? That's what we're emphasizing today. The Holy Spirit was working in the hearts of the people as the Word of God was honored in the way, the method, and the manner it was set before them, proper and befitting of the worship of a holy God. There was fear, there was trembling to think that God had just spoke through his messenger whom he had sent. You know, one of the common things that I hear all the time about preaching today, you'll get discussions like this. Well, hey, what did you get out of the sermon today? And if the minister didn't say things so as to grab me, or he didn't say it so as to make it interesting for me or my children, or I didn't like it, and so on and so on, it wasn't practical enough. You know, I guess initially I say there may be bad, ineffective preaching. But have you really come with a heart that burns to reverently hear God's word? Is that how you're approaching worship? Or do you just jump out of bed, throw on some clothes, sleep in day, throw down some food, and head on out without giving one thought, one preparation of your heart in prayer to the fact that you're worshiping a holy, triune God? The people listened to the word and they shouted, "Amen, amen." There was joy in the word of God. Haven't you experienced this? When you truly taste the word, when you're receiving the word preached as it should be preached, how many times have you felt that that sermon was directly for you and it was directly preached at you that day? In fact, maybe you wonder if the pastor was aiming it at you that day. Your heart was so eager to hear God. Specifically, he took that word and he directly applied it to you, just what you needed, when you needed it, right at the moment you needed it, and it spoke to you in the most penetrating, convicting, and heartwarming way. And you knew that it was God himself who was searching you out personally, trying you and searching you and knowing your inmost thoughts. How does he do that? He does it through the word of God. And what happens to you when that word penetrates into the conscience? What does it do to you when you have a fresh sense of God's powerful word, which Jeremiah described, that breaks like a hammer the rocks in pieces? I love verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They wept. The holiness of God was so freshly set before them, it caused an overwhelming sense of what, dear listener? Their sin. That's what happens when the law of God is set before us as it should be. And what a need we have for this today. Who is weeping over sin at all today? When is the last time you've ever wept over your sin? Be honest. True hearing of the word will produce this. For what aim? For what purpose? For what goal? For what? Tell us. The people before you had lost everything because they would not hear, but they were God's remnant. And the remnant that now was hearing his voice. And what did Ezra say? It was at this point, after a full understanding of the law and how much they had rejected it, that the tears turned into joy when Ezra stood up and said in verse 10, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." You see, there was the gospel. There was the strength to go on. And the Lord right there gave them food and drink. He gave them the fat, the good portions. And what did the sacrifice speak to? It was joy in the cross. Before them was heralded the cross. There was strength. It was joy to be renewed in the wonderful promises and come and have access through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a joy given to the Christian. There are churches out there today who think you can have no joy. There are churches out there today who think that unless they've made you just feel like worthless scum, and they give no gospel, unless you feel that way, then you haven't done your job. And I respond the opposite way. I say, while we tear down with the law, we build up with the gospel. A true church will always preach the joy of Christ's forgiveness. When we're broken with the hammer of the law, and then we're lifted up with joy, what are we made to know? We're made to know that we are alive together with Christ, that He's forgiven us all our trespasses. God is breaking down to build up. Every week He wants to crush to fill. What lifted them up that day? I find it amazing that the message in the midst of all this failure was that they still were to have joy in Christ. That was God's will for them. The Lord was their strength. The joy of understanding the Lord's amazing love for them. They were His remnant. They were washed. And as His remnant, He loved them. He bought them, and He would save them. The joy of the Lord was their strength, the gospel. And they left on this. What an application. How did they leave? Listen to verse 12. All the people went rejoicing because they understood the words that were declared to them. You know, I don't know if there's anything more powerful than that. The light went on. All these years, they had the word of God. No one had understood it. All of a sudden, a fresh outpouring of the Spirit had come upon them. And what happened? Joy over the fact that they understood the word of God. I think that's been my greatest excitement in the ministry. That when I see in God's people, and I've seen it in the church that I pastor, the Linden United Reformed Church, I've seen that. I've seen excitement over the word. And as we go through books of the Bible together, what's happened? The Bible shrinks. And you understand, and that's what I'm emphasizing, you understand the unfathomable love of God in the gospel unfolded before you on every page of Scripture. Jesus Christ is before us in all of Scripture, the law and the prophets. And that's the beauty of what we see in Nehemiah this week. A people concerned with one thing, a burning desire to hear the word in the law and the gospel. That will produce in us and our children the kind of vibrant thing we're often searching for, sadly, elsewhere in anything and everything else. Spirituality diminishes when interest in the Bible diminishes. You understand then why the apostle said, hold fast to what you've been given, what you have. Listen, dear listener, it's always pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. I mean that. Foolishness. God called what we do to the world something that is absolutely foolish. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Makes no sense to people. People want signs. They want wisdom. But that method is foolish. Tragically, this preaching of the word today is a rare thing. If you do it well, you're going to do something brand new. If you do it well, you're going to do something that people just have not heard today. That's tragic to me. What an opportunity we have. Just remember, it's always been God's old, ordinary way of saving. May we return to sitting under this powerful, living word, which is able to save our souls. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Swetz of Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. I invite you to hear biblical preaching and God-centered worship every Sunday at 10 and 3:30 in the afternoon at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. You can find us at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. Our website is abbotsfordurc.org. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God.